Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, this is Ralph Lawler. Welcome to the Lob the Jam podcast.
What's up, everyone? It's the Lob the Jam, the podcast. I'm Chapon, coming to you with Cole. What's up, Cole?
What's up, Shep? Always good to be on here after a victory. I feel like I haven't been on here with you in a minute. I've been on with Rob, with Lucas, with Mike, like everyone but you. What's up? What's up with the scheduling?
I don't know what's going on.
You're the schedule maker.
I'm not doing that. I think Lucas is on the West Coast now after being on the East Coast. So I like took up a ton of the 7:30 games, but now that Lucas is on the West Coast in Portland, he's had a chance to cover some of those 7:30 games and give me a well-deserved reprieve on some of them. But you have been with everybody. Even Rob has like led a pod with you on it, right? Rob, who I think whenever he leads pods, he's always like kind of like, I know you're not used to me leading a pod.
Exactly.
It's pretty great.
In his voice. I can hear his voice in my head right now.
It's like, you might expect Lucas or you might expect Shap, but it's me, Rob. Anyways, shout out to Rob. I hope you're enjoying some Indian food right now. The Clippers have enjoyed themselves tonight. 121-114 over a sneaky Utah Jazz team that me and Cole were talking about right before this pod started, about how like just fun a lot of their roster is and how just they're just loaded with good players. I mean, I take the Jazz pretty seriously if they have this roster as is. And they didn't have Vanderbilt last time that they played us, and he's also another good player. But the Utah Jazz did not go down quietly after the Clippers went up 17, I want to say, in that first half. But the Clippers made a nice little comeback of their own in the second half, led a little bit by Kawhi Leonard in that fourth quarter, and won this game 121-114. The stars of the game, and we'll talk about our medals in a bit, but the stars of the game felt like Reggie Jackson and Norman Powell, who have been just on a renaissance themselves. Reggie Jackson in particular, 27, 10 of 20 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3. He was great. Norman Powell has continued his great play. He had 30 points on 10 for 15. And just a lot of really nice performances up and down the roster. Zoo was 14 and 14, a couple of blocks. Kawhi was only 4 of 11, but I felt like he made his presence felt like he's been doing. He kind of paced himself a bit, was 4 of 11 from the field, but had 5 assists, some nice playmaking from the elbow. And just good stuff all around. John Wall had some more trick-or-treat stuff. 8 assists and 8 turnovers. Is a perfect compilation of things for John
Wall. Trick or treat, I like that.
He's a little trick or treat for me. But I appreciate what he did early. He slipped a little bit. He had, of course, he had 15 assists and 1 turnover, I want to say, last game. So Wall is just the way he is. I think they did a really great job utilizing him and not bringing him back down the stretch when they found something good with going small. There were just a lot of really interesting things from this game, Cole. Just a game with Kawhi Leonard without Paul George, who we'll talk about in a bit too, with his hamstring tendon injury. But there was just kind of a lot of interesting, fascinating things I felt like happened today. Cole, what were your main takeaways from this game today?
You touched on Reggie. I think this is his third straight game of 20 or more points, and yeah, he's been pretty efficient. He's taking good care of the basketball. Zero turnovers. To 4 assists. Again, with Norman Powell, as you touched on, just his continued upward trend over the past couple of weeks has been like a godsend for this Clippers team, especially, yeah, you know, the way that they kind of have people going in and out with Luke and, you know, Kawhi coming back and then Paul being out, like just to get some steady production from him off the bench is good for the team. But honestly, I mean, good for him as well. I'm sure he's feeling a lot better. Not that he lost confidence or anything like that, but kind of with just how the way the season started. And then I could have had more Zoo towards the end of the game. The Clippers kind of went small for a minute, but outside of that, I thought that that Ty Lue pulled the right strings, especially in that fourth quarter. You know, we kind of talk about John Wall having like the same kind of, you know, up and down as former Clipper great DeMarcus Cousins, and kind of just got to know when to pull the plug. And John was tremendous last game, tremendous. I won't say tremendous because he still had turnovers in the first half, but he was able to leave his mark on the game and help the Clippers extend the lead and get the crowd into it and stuff. And then the third quarter, it just all went pretty south rather quickly. And Ty, you know, at the end of the third quarter, took him out. He didn't see the court the rest of the game. He rode Reggie, rode Amir Coffey. Shout out to Amir coming
in. Shout out to Amir.
A plus 14. And in the 21 minutes he's played, I'm sure that's a season high. So Nico as well. Like I think that that Ty did a good job of managing minutes tonight. Obviously, it's a little easier to do when, you know, people are out of the lineup and Kawhi's still on the minutes restriction. It's easier to distribute those minutes. But I thought he did a good job with that. And I think the Clippers won this game with their bench. Honestly, I mean, obviously Reggie was great, but if you look up and down the stat sheet, you'll see that a lot of the Utah bench players were in the minus and the Clippers were in the plus. So there's a lot of good to take away from this game. I mean, obviously the big thing is that they won.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of good. Kind of worth talking some of that small ball stuff that happened today, because there was a lot of positives from it. There was a lot of three guard plus Nico and Kawhi, and especially down the stretch a bit, or just three guard with a couple of forwards. It could be Marcus. Generally not a look that I love, but I feel like we've seen enough of it consistently that I think Ty is just emphasizing some offense and offensive creativity. And it actually got a lot of nice stuff going on the offense today. Amir Coffey was one of the benefactors from the small ball, utilizing three guards. Amir, we often saw Amir, Reggie, Norm out there. And Ty rode Amir to the end today. Amir was great. 8 points, had that huge offensive foul, pretty much the game-changing play for that three-point play that went the other way on that great challenge that I was kind of on the fence on when I saw it live, and then you saw enough replays. It's like, oh, okay, I can see that. But luckily, it kind of paid off, and I kind of touched on it last time as far as the Rocco versus another guard with a small ball unit, and kind of, you know, I've generally clamored for Rocco playing small ball just because I feel like his rebounding, his ability as a low man, his help defense, all that stuff I feel like has been critical to the Clippers on defense, and even more critical when they're playing without Ivica Zubat. But then you kind of see on the other end when having a third guard like Amir, whoever it may be, might help a little bit offensively. And it kind of showed out for Ty today. How are your thoughts on how the small ball looked today, and how comfortable you are with that rotation of guys out there, particularly without Rocco? Because I'm trying to, you know, I think both of us, most Clipper fans, were so overwhelmingly positive towards Rocco for a good reason, for how good he was last year. But I'm trying to let myself see a little bit on why the team has decided to go with a guard instead of a forward in that spot, rather than going, you know, full wing stop. They're just going, you know, almost half wing stop. And I can kind of see it, and Amir kind of showed me a little glimpse of why maybe they're using more guards. So what do you see out there when you see how Ty is going small?
Yeah, I still take it as on a game-by-game basis. Like, I know we ended up getting some Amir in that Dallas game, and I thought that, you know, especially towards, and he got picked on a little bit with his foot speed on the defensive end. He kind of gave up some buckets to, like, Dinwiddie, stuff like that. So, like, it's kind of hit or miss. I'm definitely excited that he did have a good game today, though, and that, you know, when you can squeak these games out and steal minutes for him, you do so. I've kind of just given up on the Rocco thing, honestly. It's
tough.
It's a little bit, I mean, it's frustrating, but it just doesn't seem like he's part of the plans right now. Don't know what that means for him going forward, if he'll get another shot or not, but I'm going to try not to let myself be too frustrated by it because it's just not going to happen. But I think you can get away with it in terms of having the three guards and the smaller lineups and stuff. If, you know, like Utah, we know how, like you talked about earlier, they kind of have the blueprint and the DNA of the former Utah teams. Obviously, no Gobert, no Donovan Mitchell, but they play it pretty up-tempo. They take a bunch of threes. They move the ball a lot. But they don't really have a steady paint attack. Like, even right. when they do play big, like, Olenek is 7 feet, but, you know, he's not pounding the ball inside. And you have Lauren Markkanen. Like, there was a time late in the game today where he had a roll to the rim, I believe, and he got mm-hmm. met at the summit by Norman Powell. Like,
right.
they just don't have too many guys that really bother you or worry about in the paint. So I think that you could get away with it. And yeah, I mean, it worked out for the Clippers tonight. I don't know if it'll work out against every opponent, but that's just a matchup type of thing. But I wasn't too upset with it tonight, and it paid off. And like I said, Ty rode with what was working. And I think he deserves we've been critical of him a little bit this year, not to say that he's a bad coach or anything like that, but we've kind of nitpicked at some of his decisions. And I think he did a good job tonight.
Yeah, that's what we do here. Man, the Utah Jazz shot 38 threes today, including some crazy stuff off the bounds from Jordan Clarkson, as we're just used to seeing. I've never seen a team more dictated by three-pointers than the Utah Jazz, like, in my life.
It felt like they made so many more, though. Like, I was prepared to come on this. I was prepared to come on here and be like, it's crazy that the Clippers won this game, being outscored from three by like 21.
But like, I felt like they hit 12 in the third quarter.
Yeah, I guess maybe they're just timely. But it felt like they made like 20.
They hit a few of those like mini fast break threes that are like really disheartening. And I felt like they hit like three or four in a row in that third quarter.
Yeah, in that third quarter, right.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. Come right back. Maybe talk about our medals after this.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, and we're back. So we've been doing this bit recently about giving out gold medals, silver medals, and bronze medals. Cole, who are your medals for today?
I'm going to go with Reggie for the gold. 10 for 20, 3 of 7 from 3. You get just 4 assists, but really you don't really need Reggie to be the point guard out there and setting the table for everybody. I think Kawhi being out there obviously, you know, slides Reggie into the catch and shoot role, or he could tack off closeouts and stuff. So, like, you don't really need that. But the 0 turnovers, I think that, yep, 0 turnovers, that was mm-hmm. big. 27 points. He carried the team down the fourth, along with Norman Powell, who is my silver medalist. He could easily be the gold medalist, but Reggie kind of just did it from the start and in more minutes. And, you know, kind of just had to give him the nod. But Norm was great, 10 of 15. Got to the free throw line 7 times, which is always big, even if he does, you know, the foul baiting stuff. And, like, there's going to be at least one timer game where he does it and it just results in a turnover going the other way because mm-hmm. he doesn't get the foul. But mm-hmm. I thought he was good. I thought he was pretty solid on defense. I know Clarkson made some pretty tough shots over him, but you kind of just tip your hat to that. But this is the Norman Powell that the Clippers got last year, and the one that they wanted in the trade. And, you know, after the slow start, he's starting to pick it up. And then for my bronze medal, let me see. I think I'll end up going with Zoo, 14 and 14. Mm-hmm. He had a really big first quarter that kind of got the Clippers out to a nice start. Yeah, he just continues to be super solid. You know, 35 minutes. He had four fouls, three turnovers, but I didn't really notice him that much. But yeah. I just thought he was good. His defense was obviously good as always. They don't win this game without his rebounding. Just another solid game in what feels like is just the norm with Zoo.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty close to how I'm doing it too. Reggie Jackson is going to be my gold as well. I just think Reggie has had a different mindset since Kawhi Leonard has been reinserted into the lineup. He's just taking nothing, but you know, he's taking catch and shoot shots. I know he had a couple pull-ups today, but it was with Colin Sexton going under on a couple of screens, and so I wasn't too mad at that. And it was when Kawhi wasn't in the lineup and the team was trying to close out. I think he donned a little bit of his Hero Reggie jacket or cape during those minutes, which were fine. He did that crazy behind the back pass to Zoo, which I also think are just reps with him and Zoo from last year. You know, I think right. the pick and roll with him and Zoo last year was one of our best like points per possessions. And he has notable chemistry with Ivica Zubac. And I think that's going to pay dividends long-term, especially if plays are broken. The fact that Reggie Jackson has chemistry with Zoo and is still a spacer and all that stuff is really useful, and I love seeing it all coalesce with that great pass to Zoo off that pick and roll. And you know, just in general, I just really love Reggie's play. I think he's found that happiness and joy in his game again. He hasn't felt slumped over, not so worried about his injuries all the time versus his energy versus his role. And I think Kawhi just slots him perfectly back into that catch and shoot Reggie with a little bit extra, and feels like he's really embraced that. Even a few times today, there were a couple of times where he could have taken a pull-up three-pointer or something, but he would pass it to Norm or something. And I felt like he's catching himself. So I appreciate that. Norm's my silver. Like you mentioned, either of these are interchangeable. I'm going to give Kawhi my bronze. I think Zoo can almost virtually any game could get a bronze medal. It feels like he's like a perennial bronze medalist. But I mean, with Kawhi, I like what I saw out of Kawhi, especially later in the game. He had five assists and no turnovers. It was really measured. It was weird seeing him stuck in the corner with less than a minute left and not kind of doing anything. That was kind of weird. Yeah. In that one of those last possessions, I think Norm got fouled. But aside from that, I felt like he kind of commanded his way. And this was another encouraging game from Kawhi, and I'm hoping that we just see more encouragement. And I just felt like the Jazz felt him out there, and that just makes a difference for the Clippers, just like they did last game. Just like last game, was he was felt out there.
Yeah, and then just a few things on Kawhi. Like, I don't think it's talked about enough. He seems just like a very selfless player out there. Like throughout his Clippers tenure, honestly, like there's so many times where I feel like he really just lets I'm not gonna say he sets the table, because he does, a lot of stuff runs through him. He gets to the post and, you know, kind of play out of that. But like, it's very evident that like he almost prefers like Paul take over or somebody else to do their thing, and then he can kind of just pick his spots and, you know, not have to force his way and you know, just kind of be him when the time is called, which is what you see a lot during the regular season. And then in the playoffs, it happens. It's like, okay, now it's time for me to get in my bag and do my thing. But like, he's very selfless. And I think it stuck out even more in these three games back. Obviously, in the beginning of the year, it was kind of weird with the rotation coming off the bench and whatnot. But like in these three games that he's been back, he's not forcing anything. Like, how many players of Kawhi's stature with his resume are trying to come back and be that guy right away? Like, you know what I mean? He's getting everyone involved. He's sticking to his minutes restriction. He's not forcing anything.
Yeah.
And he just feels like, not that there weren't any adults in the room before, but he just feels like such a calming presence out there. Like, the guys kind of feed off his energy. He doesn't turn the ball over. He gets everything set up in the half court. It's just good to have him back out there. And I know he's obviously well aware of the recovery process and how it takes for him to get back to being the guy that he was. But yeah, I just think that's, as long as the Clippers aren't winning, that I feel like that's just going to be his approach until it hits the right time where he's, you know, rounded back into shape and he can start doing more Kawhi things and more minutes and stuff like that. But I just think it's really, he deserves a little mention. I know that it's kind of weird, you know, with him being out so much and people get kind of frustrated with that. But I do think that the team definitely feeds off his energy And the fact that he's being pretty selfless with his approach, I think that's big. That's huge for this team.
Yeah, Cole, I'm kind of curious. Did that 2-year process quote from him reverberate with you, just being somebody who's played basketball at a high level and has recovered from knee injuries? Did hearing him talk about his kind of recovery period and how it's not a 1-year injury recovery, it's like a kind of a 2-year thing? Like, how have you, like, seeing it from a lens of a basketball player watching Kawhi recover? You know, I know that we've talked off air about the weight that Kawhi put on and how that can kind of affect coming back from an injury like this and the tightness that maybe you felt. How have his quotes kind of reverberated with you watching him out there from a basketball perspective?
Yeah, it makes sense. I know that the whole 2-year thing being thrown around is probably a little bit alarming to some people. And, you know, you kind of want to compare his timeline to other players who have torn their ACLs and whatnot, but at least not recently, in my knowledge, at least. Like, it's different that, you know, you can be a role player coming back from an ACL injury and be expected to play 15, 20 minutes a game and do something. But when you're Kawhi Leonard, you're expected to be Kawhi Leonard. I think that being at that level of play and being that relied upon to lead a team in the way that he does, that takes a lot more. I feel like that's going to take a little bit more patient. You kind of can't just jump right back into that. It's not like it's a video game. You know what I mean? Like, he needs the reps. He's a human being at the end of the day. Like, I'm sure mentally it's been tough on him to have to deal with these injuries and then, you know, get comfortable once again. So I've been under the knife a few times with knee injuries. I've never torn my ACL, but it's definitely a process, and it's not something that you want to speed up too much with someone of Kawhi's stature. So I think everyone's situation is different. And, you know, like you touched on us talking a little bit earlier about him being super strong and super bulky. And that's common sense that you don't get bigger when you're recovering from a lower extremity injury. Like, that's just not going to work. And I think that, you know, whether he re-aggravated it or he just realized that he wasn't moving right or whatever it was that caused him to miss those 25 days or whatever it was, like, he seems to be moving a little bit better. I thought he was moving fine before, but he looks a little bit slimmer, looks a little bit lighter. I think that they just go from there. So everything is a process with him. And as long as you're able to pick up wins and play the right way while he's out there and while he's still getting back to his old form, then kind of just got to roll with the punches.
Yeah. You know, I also kind of want to shout out what you were mentioning about Kawhi Leonard and his selflessness. You know, I think I mentioned Kawhi being kind of the center of the universe when he plays on offense. And that's not really a negative thing as much as it's just all eyes are on him, not just on offense, but on defense. And you could feel it whenever he would catch the ball on the block. It feels like there were three defenders, like, keeping an eye on where Kawhi Leonard is, if he needed some help, if the defender needed some help. And that was a really good thing. But what's underrated are those 5 assists and 0 turnovers. And it's a shame if we could ever see them play 5 games together in a row. Like you mentioned, Paul George is a perfect complement to that kind of guy who's just waiting for his moments, particularly in the fourth quarter. We've seen it repeatedly in the playoffs of when Kawhi just turns on the Jets and just takes over a game. And Paul George, who's a guy who's a very much a rhythm player, not just a rhythm guy, but comfortable in the pick and roll, comfortable doing some table setting, comfortable on the elbow, just comfortable in all these different ways. He's a perfect complement to a guy like Kawhi as far as a complimenting wing. I can't wait to see them play together for a prolonged period. So it's exciting seeing Kawhi kind of getting in his groove back a bit and just getting comfortable. I'm excited for the game where he kind of hits some of these shots, because I feel like these are just Kawhi shots that he's missing. I've not really felt like he's taking hard shots or he doesn't have what he had before. I just think he's missing shots that he normally makes. I think it's just a rhythm thing too. So I'm not too stressed about that. I'm excited to see him continue to progress. I'm just excited to watch him play basketball, honestly. Let's take another break, come right back, talk a little bit about the Paul George news after this. All right, and we're back. So it was revealed earlier there was some issue with Paul George before where he didn't play the second half of that last game, and there was a concern that he had some knee soreness. He had, of course, he told Bomber on his way out that he was doing better and all that. But it was kind of revealed.
Never listen to players, by the way.
Never listen to players. Kawhi Leonard also said he was fine after he tore his ACL. So I would never listen to players. But it was revealed that it was a right hamstring tendon strain and not knee soreness. You know, everybody hears the word hamstring. I think Law Murray also mentioned too, Law Murray from The Athletic, one of our friends who covers the Clippers on the local beat, that there was more of a concern that it was more of a hyperextension injury than some sort of wear and tear. I mean, honestly, you hear hamstring injury, it's very common to think of a wear and tear injuries. Clipper fans particularly are used to Chris Paul hurting his hamstring in virtually every playoff year. Just concerned about wear and tear stuff. And while, you know, your hamstring is a massive muscle, them talking about the tendon, the hamstring tendon, you know, closer to the knee, the distal hamstring tendon, that can very much be like a hyperextension type of thing. It's hard to completely delineate wear and tear versus just a quick little tweak. But, you know, it could be promising, hopefully, that maybe this won't be an elongated thing, because generally when you think of hamstrings, you think about multiple weeks. Now, Law mentioned that he's going to be reevaluated in a couple of games, so that probably puts him out with this Golden State game coming up. But not good that Kawhi Leonard just came back and Paul George is hurt. But honestly, just fingers crossed. I mean, hamstring stuff is always kind of delicate. You're always worried to hear about a hamstring injury. I don't really recall too many hamstring tendon injuries in recent NBA history or recent seasons in the NBA. There probably have been, but I couldn't think of anything off the top of my head. It's concerning, Cole, that Paul is hurt a little bit, but hopefully it won't be very long. That's all we have to hope for right now.
Yeah, hopefully it's not too long. I wouldn't be surprised if it lingered like a couple of weeks or something like that. And honestly, right. You know, just get healthy. I know we say that, and it's kind of weird because we never end up seeing the guys on the court that need to be on the court together. But I mean, it does feel like a wear and tear injury. Like if you go back mm-hmm. to OKC and how much he was used in that final year that he was there, that led to his shoulders almost falling off.
Yeah, my gosh.
And then last year with how much he was used to begin the season, his elbow almost fell off. And then this year, like they were desperate for wins, and like he was playing into the 40s, like he was having to do everything. And like, I mean, Paul's well into his 30s now. I think he's like 32 or something like that. Like,
right.
that type of usage isn't really the best for someone that's at that age, especially so early in the season when, you know, you're coming straight from the off season. It's not like you have, you know, your body is used to playing this type of basketball like that. So it doesn't really surprise me. I'm not going to say I knew that it was going to be a couple of games or anything like that, but the fact that he sat out last game, and then obviously I know people kind of went kind of wild with what he said with Steve Ballmer after the game, but like, what is he going to say with the cameras on him? So
yeah, I can't recall a player saying, aside from it being like an Achilles tear or like an ACL, right, saying, yeah, oh, this right. is bad.
I'm fine. Yeah. Like, so you just kind of take that stuff with a grain of salt, but yeah, obviously it wouldn't be the Clippers if one of those two guys wasn't out. So you just gotta play the waiting game, and hopefully they can continue to pick up wins, continue playing good basketball, continue to have good health from Kawhi. And then, you know, that's just part of it. You just got to wait until PG is ready to go again. You don't want to force him back for no reason in the middle of November. So just got to be patient with it.
Yeah, I think Clipper fans, I tend to think that this was a little bit of wear and tear too, if I'm being totally honest. I think Clipper fans should prepare themselves mentally for him being out a week or two. And he probably should be. I mean, I would rather be safe than sorry with him at this point. Right. And hamstrings, whether it's a tendon or the huge muscle that goes up and down your leg, you just need to be safe. And I want Paul to be healthy. Honestly, that 41-minute game he had against the Mavericks drove me crazy, especially when he was just throwing the ball away at the end of the game. It's just, I just feel like he's been overexerted all year, and the team needs to be better about keeping Paul, you know, kind of in a not complete load management, because I think Paul is of the, you know, the old Kobe Bryant mentality. We all know how he's a Kobe Bryant, huge Kobe fan. He's one of those guys that he wants to be playing as much as possible. He's not right. One of those guys that's leaning towards load management. He thinks that if he's healthy, he'll play. You have to kind of know better for him, and you have to reel him in a little bit more, because there's nobody who's probably as active all over the floor for the Clippers than Paul George. I mean, Kawhi is really good at finding his spots. He's not as active, not as mobile as Paul George is. He's not using all these different scenarios. Kawhi generally is an on the block kind of guy, and Paul is an all sorts of variety kind of guy. Also defends at a really high pace. Been defending at a great level this whole year, which also, you know, takes to his wear and tear. So I'm glad that he's hopefully going to get some rest and get better, because it could always get worse. You know, it could always get worse if you don't rest or if you don't like listen to your body. So I'm glad at least they were able to catch it and not kind of overexert his body before things got worse, because it wasn't like an inevitability or anything, but he's just been doing a lot for this team for a long time. So better now than later, you know? So I think that everybody should just kind of mentally prepare for him to be out a week or two and just hopefully be 100%. And then hopefully when he comes back, we should probably hopefully get his minutes, you know, tempered a little bit too, and maybe give him some games off too once in a while. Yeah. Yeah. Any closing thoughts, Cole, for this pod? I do want to give Nico Batum a shout out. He was one of my bronze guys I was thinking of. He was great today. I feel like Nico's been playing better recently, making some shots too. I think the really big thing about Nico was that he just wasn't hitting shots, and now he's starting to hit some shots. He was a game high plus 17, 7, 5, and 4 with three steals. He was great. Love what I see out of him, playing a lot of small ball 5. But yeah, any closing thoughts on this game today, Cole? And the Golden State game that's coming up. The Clippers are half a game out of first in the West right now.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. No,
Utah Jazz out. First in the West, by the way.
Still, yeah, even after the loss tonight. Ridiculous. Yeah. The West is crazy. But anyways, I guess shout out to the bench. We've everyone, national media, local media, whatever, is talking about how deep the Clippers are coming into the season. And it was easy to kind of forget about that when, you know, Norm got off to a slow start, Nico wasn't making shots, the whole Rocco stuff, John being trick-or-treat, as you say, like, just a lot of weird stuff going on to begin the season. But now that guys are seeing more minutes, I throw Terrence Mann in there too, seeing more minutes, making shots, making an impact. Like, yeah, like, you can afford to not have Luke Kennard and Paul George in the lineup. Like, obviously you'd rather have them than not, but I think that now that guys are starting to catch the rhythm, they're starting to wake up a little bit, starting to make shots and make things happen. Like, you're starting to see that depth that that everyone loved coming into the season. So they're going to need to rely on it even more now with Paul being out probably for a while, Luke dealing with a calf strain. Those are no fun. And then Kawhi still being on a minutes restriction. So they're just going to need every bit of this depth that they have. And right now they seem to be playing well. And I think that they won the game. They were the difference in the game. I'll say that tonight. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they can do. The Warriors bench has not been good all season. So that's something to monitor in Wednesday's game when Steph and Clay and Draymond and those guys go out, and, you know, income, whoever, Wiseman, whoever, Kuminga against like Norm and Amir, if he gets another shot, and Nico and all that, I think that would be worth paying attention to as well. But three in a row with Kawhi back. He seems to be moving well. The offense seems to be coming along. Mm-hmm. Encouraging stuff. Just got to get everyone healthy.
Yeah, speaking of a weird season, your defending champion Golden State Warriors wouldn't even be in the play-in if it started today. Weird season. And that'll do it for this episode of the Law of the Jam, the podcast. Of course, leave us a nice 5-star review on whatever platform you listen to us on. 5 stars really helps. We're getting close to 100 reviews on Apple, so keep them coming, you guys. And as always, go Clippers.